Lake Effect continues on Milwaukee Public Radio. I'm Mitch Tyke. Milwaukee singer-songwriter Peter Mulvey's first 15 albums have spanned a range of styles, from introspective, quiet acoustic songs to more fully produced rock songs. His 16th and latest album, Silver Ladder, released this spring, falls into that second camp, but the full band accompaniment strays into some territory that gives it a distinct sound even within Mulvey's rich discography. That's thanks in large part to the influence of producer Chuck Prophet. Mulvey plays a show this evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point, but back when the album first came out, he joined us for a solo set in Performance Studio C1, starting with the song You Don't Have to Tell Me.
You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I already know. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. You don't have to tell me. I already know. No, you don't have to tell me. I already know.
Peter Mulvey, You Don't Have to Tell Me in Studio C1. Peter Mulvey, welcome back to the show.
Thank you so much. Good to be here. Good to be here, Mitch.
It is good to see you again, and exciting that you have this new record out. It's a much more textured, more complex album, at least in terms of the arrangement. I don't want to say your writing is not complex in the previous stuff, but it is. Some of your more recent stuff is more stripped down than this. On the other hand, it's not like you've never worked with a full band before. Are you exercising a different songwriting muscle when you bring together a group of people to put together something like this?
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I've been writing a lot lately. The past couple of years, I've been writing a song every Tuesday, and I knew that I wanted to make just sort of a knockdown, drag out kind of a record. And so you do, you sort of, it's more that you just put that in the back of your mind, and then your what muse, whatever you want to call it, coughs up some rock and roll tunes. But I will say, Chuck Prophet produced this record, and he took it all in direct. I mean, he practically rewrote some of the tunes. It was startling.
Well, yeah. So you had Chuck Prophet as the producer on this. He's a name that some people probably recognize, others might not. What made him the right guy for the job?
Oh, man. Because he's incredibly contrary. He's an old school rock and roller. He's like the last guy out there with a rock and roll band, sort of, you know, taking no prisoners and delivering, he's just the greatest. And I'd met him and opened a gig for him in Florida back on the road 4 or 5 years. And I called him up, and just his answer, I said, "Hey, man, I love what you do. Would you produce my record?" And he was like, "Sure, it could happen. What's your budget?" And I was like, I got $12,000, which was a lie. And he was like, "Well, then we're going to be savvy, champion. That's what's going to happen." Like, and that's the way he was the whole way through. It was like working with a crocodile on Ritalin. Like, if you come to him and say, "Okay, aesthetic choice A or B," he's like, "Why does it have to be a letter, pal? It could be a number. It could be five. It could be blue. This thing could be a bird. If it's the right bird, this tune could be flying by next Tuesday." Awesome.
It sounds kind of Confucian.
Yeah, he very much. Yeah, he was like the Zen monk that like torments you until you have a breakthrough. I spent the first night of the sessions. We made the record in L.A. and he put the band together. I spent the first night just lying awake thinking, I have made the largest mistake of this year. And then in the morning, I realized he's not being argumentative because he wants to win, and he's not being argumentative for its own sake. It actually is like those old Zen monks. The argumentation gives rise to desperation, which gives rise to new ideas. It's a way to work. I'd never done it before.
Well, you know, and at the stage of your career, do you look for something different in a producer in the whole production process than you did when you were younger? I mean, you're not looking for, I don't know what you were looking for when, you know, you were writing your first songs years ago. But when you go to somebody like Chuck Prophet, you have to kind of expect something else.
Yeah, the truth is, I probably spent the first 15 years of making records with producers learning, and now I'm unlearning, if that makes sense. You build yourself an aesthetic and you build yourself something you're comfortable with, but of course, you got to knock it down, and boy howdy, I guess I picked the right guy for this one, you know?
Is it harder to relinquish control over what comes out of a song at this stage in your career? I mean, you have... you know, umpteen hundred songs under your belt. It takes a certain amount of confidence, I would think, in the process to say, okay, I've written this, take it from here.
Yeah, it depends on the tune. The ones that sort of the ones that came personal to me, the ones that are closest to my heart, those I still had a tendency to argue for. But I would say with the rest of them, the ones where I'm just, you know, where I'm writing what comes in and I'm not thinking about it too hard, it's actually easier than it used to be because, you know, now I've got, what is this, my 16th record, and I, you know, I have well over 100, probably closing on 200 songs out there. And you start to realize that there's no such thing as the perfect iteration of a song. It lives out there and it breathes. That's what it's for.
You said you're writing a song every Tuesday.
Yeah.
Which makes it good. We're having this conversation on a Wednesday, so I'm glad we're not interrupting. How does that work?
Well, basically, I have two dear old friends, funny enough, that are both originally from the Milwaukee scene here. My old friend Joe Panzetta, I was in a band with him 20-some years ago, and Pamela Means, who's still out there on the road. And we're all still out there, and we just have reconnected. And basically, the assignment is, on Tuesday, at the end of the day, you got to send in a song. And it can be fragmentary, it can be downright mediocre. But you have to send it, or you have to send guilt. You know, like, oh, I'm sorry, I didn't, but I you know. And it's been really fruitful. You know, your batting average is probably goes down a little bit, as it were. You know, probably only a quarter of what I turn in is any good. But still, that's upwards of a dozen songs that I can keep and put on records a year. So
you're getting more at-bats.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, and also it takes the pressure off. I think the stupidest question you can ask as an artist is, what do I have to say? Nobody has anything to say, and even if they do, it's been said, and it's been said better by a greater artist earlier. But that's fine, because it's not a very useful question, what do I have to say? What's a very useful question is, what is interesting to me in this moment? What's the most interesting thing I can think of? What's the most exciting sound I can make now, because I'm required to make a sound, you know?
And this does not keep you from writing on a Wednesday or a Friday or a Sunday.
No, and quite often I've had like a tune on a come along on a Thursday, sort of randomly, and then thought, well, I'll just send that on Tuesday. And then I think, no, actually, no, I'm supposed to write a song this Tuesday. So it's been good. It's been good.
Well, I won't ask you when you wrote the next song you're going to play for us, but I will ask you to introduce it. What are you going to play for us?
Sure. I wrote this on a week that I had a dare to write a song every day. So this tune is called Lies You Forgot You Told.
I gave you fruit from the desert, a pocket full of stars, a glamour from the eyes of a saint. I gave you roses by the bunches and my very best hunches about everything that isn't and ain't. With any kind of look by now, it's falling on your head tenfold. A fool for believing lies you forgot you told. When you begged and you pleaded, I spoke the words you needed, although every single one burnt my tongue. I gave you faith when it deserted you, and kisses till it hurt. Climbed the silver ladder to the very top of rung, and with any kind of luck, by now it will be falling on your head tenfold. I'm a fool for believing lies I knew all along, oh, I knew all along, and I knew all along, I knew all along, oh, whoa, oh, 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 oh. I gave you handwriting and tears, an antidote to fears, a plumb line to the bottom of the well. When you asked about my secret book, I showed you every page, at least I think I did, you never can tell. Any kind of luck right now is falling on your head tenfold. I'm a fool for believing lies. Any kind of luck right now, it will be falling on your head tenfold. I'm such a fool for believing lies you forgot you told.
awesome.
Thank you.
To use a overused word, but it was great.
Thank you.
Peter Mulvey with Lies You Forgot You Told. That is the song that kicks off this new album.
That is, yeah.
And also the album itself gets its name from a lyric there, Silver Ladder.
Yeah, it does.
What was the catalyst for the album as a whole? I mean, you've been writing all of these songs, but when did and maybe why did you say, okay, this is when this album starts?
I think it all began actually quite a few years ago, 4 or 5 years ago. I just went through some pretty ordinary stuff. A good friend of mine died. A couple good friends of mine died. A couple of relationships near me busted up and my cat died. And it doesn't take that much. I mean, I think we tend to think of ourselves as our personality is a pretty stable edifice. But, that pretty much did me in and I came unstuck. And when I got out of the other side of the woods, because there always seems to be another side, we heal. We just do what we do. I just felt like, all right, I want to write. Like, this is a short ride. This is a real short ride. I've had that demonstrated to me. Let's have some fun. Let's write some rock and roll tunes. And the first two tunes that announced themselves, one was called What Else Was It? And another was called Trempolo. And they came in. I've had a long career as a writer, and these really feel good when they come in this way. It's like they're being beamed in on the radio. They feel like they're coming from somewhere else. And once I had those, I thought, all right, I can build a record around these. And I just went to work.
Rough spells can be inhibiting, but they can also be energizing. Is there a way that you learn to use a challenge in one part of your life to your advantage in another part?
I think everyone has an instinct for that, and everyone does it in a different way. I have a very good friend, Jeffrey Foucault. You've had him on a show many times. And when I was kind of down in the storm, he said, now is when you need to be writing. I remember him sending me an email about that, and I sent him a very brief email back saying, I can't. But in my case, I felt like I had my hooks in the water the whole time while you're down there, and I feel like I managed to drag whatever it was up with me. So everyone's got their way, and that appears to be mine. It seems to be a delayed reaction for me, and that's fine. It's all good.
Yeah, it always strikes me in listening to music, and maybe it's not that different a phenomenon than in fiction or poetry or even painting, that you have this little snapshot of whatever life was like for you at a certain point in time, but a writer or a painter doesn't have to perform that part of his life over and over again. Do you have to consciously guard against writing, the open wound song? Do you have to be on the out of those woods before you can actually say,
yeah,
this is an emotion that I have nailed here?
Yeah, that's a pertinent question. I think that for me, that kind of just takes care of itself. And to me, it's a little like being an actor. I think actors are some of the only other artists that do that thing where you're recreating a moment, and you might be, in my case, I'm singing the same words and playing the same chords every night, but I'm trying to make it alive and pertinent and present. And similarly, an actor who is playing any role, they're saying the same words every night, but that's not what we're coming to see. We didn't come to see them do something they memorized. We're coming to see them have an experience. So you are sort of calling it up. And over time, you just get good at it. And it doesn't really bother me. I don't feel like I carry it home. And when I, so this, although the tunes of this record came from a pretty rough place, I feel great.
Congratulations. It's great stuff.
Thank you. Thank you so much.
And what will you leave us with?
Oh, this is a tune that I co-wrote with the great Paul Sebar. This is called Back in the Wind.
Milwaukee singer-songwriter Peter Mulvey's latest album is called Silver Ladder. He'll play a show this evening at Anodyne Coffee in Walker's Point on the bill with Milwaukee's Hayward Williams, who is in residency there through August. We spoke with Peter Mulvey in May. That's all for the Wednesday edition of Lake Effect. I'm Mitch Tyke. It's so great to have you listening today, as it is every day. Sure, hope you can join us again tomorrow and every weekday morning at 10 for another edition of Lake Effect from 89.7 WUWM, Milwaukee Public Radio, NPR in Milwaukee. Stay tuned. Fresh air is next. It's 11 o'clock. Work it all through and back again. Putting out time with labor down in. How long it gonna be till we're back in the wind? Some kind of sedative slipped into it, passes for my higher mind.